Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Mac, and you're listening to Mac's Musings. At least that's hopefully, seeing as how yesterday I had a really, really hard time. So I will let my guests know that, according to the website at least, I am on the air. My guest tonight is Kathy Holzebrook-Weinkoop, and hopefully everything will work out okay. I just called her, and she should be called. She's been in the film business for over 20 years. She's done multiple things on the set, from acting to set director, production coordinator. She does her own stunts. She does a lot of acting in films, and hopefully she got touch. So I'll say a little bit until she actually calls. I don't see her calling. It was something that we might not talk about. She does camera and electrical equipment, and she did those in quite a few movies. So she's got 11 credits of that alone. She worked on the camera in Light of Blood, Survivors of Rimac, Kill Her Arnold, Joel D. Weinkoop's As Revenge, Slasher Weekend, Psychos Are Us, The Paranormal Club, Dead End, The Weinkoop Tales, and Joel D. Weinkoop's Nakoda, and The Black Book. And that takes care of her camera and electric department. Now, she has also worked in casting. And for casting, she did in these films, Joel D. Weinkoop's The Bite, Andrea's Revenge, Diary of Blood, Slasher Weekend, Psychos Are Us, The Paranormal Club, The Weinkoop Tales, Tim Ritter's Hess, Joel D. Weinkoop's Action Pack, and The Black Book. And that takes care of her casting department. Still waiting for her to call in. Okay, it looks like calling in. And hopefully it's going to work. For some reason,
I just called. Hi.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me, Kathy?
I can, yes.
You can hear me.
I can hear you.
Woohoo! All right.
Woo!
So I did a little introduction on you, hoping that I was on the air, which evidently I am. Like I was saying to whoever might be listening or listening later, my guest tonight is Kathy Holzebrook-Weinkoop. She is a very active lady. She does multiple things in the movies. So, Kathy, I wanted to ask you about, you started in what, about 1999, was it, in movies?
Professionally, yes.
Okay, so what did you do before that? You did like home movies, or maybe you made commercials or something?
No. Prior to that, it was just for, for fun. I, when I was like a little kid, I actually used to listen to, I'll probably date myself by saying a record player, and act out like all the little characters in like a Disney soundtrack. And then even though it's not really acting, but I did Rocky Horror for a while when I was in my teen years. And then, actually I think it was probably officially 2000 when I first did the very, very first thing, acting wise. I know Dirty Cop has a 1999 release date, but that's, we did the commentary after that, but it had been done prior to that, the movie. So so probably 2000, I guess, the first official.
Okay, so when you did Tales for the Midnight Hour, which actually is a really good movie. You did several things in that, like set designer, set director. You acted in it. You were the set costumer and a production coordinator. What's it like to have so many jobs on one movie?
Well, honestly, with our like at the level that we're at, if you want to call it a B movie or independent or underground, it's not that uncommon to have more than one role. You just want to get the movie done. So if you have to wear more than one hat, you know, you can't be a diva and say, oh no, that's beneath me. No, it's not beneath you. Go light that light, go help set up the shot, you know, things like that. It's not difficult. If I remember correctly, I want to say Tales from the Midnight Hour, it wasn't a really large part that, you know, we had to do. So it wasn't like months that I had to work, you know, it was maybe just a couple of days. But, you know, a lot of times with these movies, you just do what you need to do to get it done, you know, help where you can help. And I've had some movies where thankfully all I had to do was act, which to me is the easy part. but you know, I could sit there and say, well, we need to have someone go get those batteries. Oh, wait, it's just me. So I guess I'll go get those batteries, you know, or what have you. So it's, you know, we got to do what you got to do to get it done.
Right. Yeah. Do you like doing a lot of things at once, or you just do it basically because you have to? Or a mixture?
Yeah, it's kind of a mixture. I mean, like I said, ideally, and I have had the luxury of doing this on a few sets, if all I have to do is act, that's a lot easier because then I can just think about what I need to do, what I need to say, you know, where my mark, things like that. When you do the other stuff, it can be confusing, but luckily I don't have to do them necessarily at the same time. You know, like I know, I think when we did Tim Ritter's Test, I did my scenes. And then when I was done with my scenes, I changed, got into the quote unquote comfy clothes and helped with like script supervision and things like that. And once I don't have to act anymore, it's a lot easier to go ahead and say, oh, you need me to do this, you need me to do that, sure, no problem, you know, or vice versa. If I do that before I act, it's not as difficult. I know in Dead End, I think I did a lot of stunts, which were so much fun. It was a lot of fighting. And someone said, oh, you're doing really good. And I said, well, I'm just kind of copying what I'm told. That's the easy part, but I don't even know what my lines are, and I know I have lines coming up. So that was a little tricky, but, you know, the idea, I was like, oh, I have stuff I have to say and I don't know what I'm supposed to say. Oh no. But we worked it out.
So you really like doing your stunts. You've done them in like what, 12 movies?
Yeah, 12 or five. I mean, I do to a point. I mean, obviously my stunts are not jumping off of a building or, you know, rolling out of a speeding car. No, I would definitely let someone else do that if I ever had the opportunity to do that. But, you know, yeah, I'm nowhere near that. But, you know, fighting, that's fun. I know I think it was 2005, I kind of just threw myself on the floor several times to make it look like I got pushed on the floor. And somehow I ended up breaking my toe. I'm not really sure how that happened. It was one of those, go to put my shoe on. Oh, ow, that hurts. Oh, look, my toe's broken. Well, that happened. But, yeah, you know, but yeah, mostly, the fighting, I guess, or play fighting, if you want to call it that. I really, really enjoy that. I will say in Dead End, all of my co-stars made me look really, really good. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have looked as good as I did. They were amazing. They made me look like I was tough and, you know, kicking the nuts and all that good stuff.
So
it's good to have good co-stars.
Well, yeah, that does help. It's a group effort, so if everybody does their
absolutely
part, it ends up good.
Absolutely.
So I did want to ask you about your fighting, because I've seen you fighting in your movies, and you look like you might have a belt of some kind. Do you have a black belt or a brown belt or something?
Well, I did take martial arts training a few years ago. I know just enough to be dangerous to myself, and it was a mixed martial arts class, so they didn't necessarily have like white, yellow, green, blue, red, all the different colors like that. But what they did is they dyed your white belt black in sections. So I probably got to the fourth section before that ended. So I'm not really sure if that's I don't know what's after yellow, maybe green. So maybe green or blue, whatever the fourth level of a belt would be. That's probably about where I was, but don't get me wrong. I don't want to be in a fight. I don't want to be in a fight. I could probably leave a couple of scars on someone if I had to be, but I don't know if I'd win.
fight. Well, you might surprise them in what you're able to do. You never know. So,
well, I always say I fight dirty. So.
You like to fight dirty? Is that what
you
said?
No, I just said I would fight dirty. I would fight dirty if I had to. Life or death, you know?
Well, yeah, of course. If it's life or death, you fight how you got to fight.
All bets are off. Exactly.
Let's talk a little bit about the cinematography, because I noticed that you do that in quite a few of your films.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. You go.
Oh,
you're
no, no.
Guest.
You go ahead. So you go,
well,
for sure, because you have a better answer or better question.
Well, no, because I know the different credits that you have for cinematography, but I really was just curious about do you have your own camera? Is it rented? Do you actually like doing the cinematography? Because you seem to have a knack for it. That's one of the reasons why I'm curious.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, the camera is ours as far as mine and Joel's. You know, I would say it's more his because he's the one that, you know, picked it out and knew what to buy and knows how to turn it on and things like that. I'm pretty good at pointing and shooting. There's a few times where I just see things a little bit differently. Just like for the Craiglin incident, one of the movies we're shooting right now, we were trying to get a specific shot, and I knew in the shot it had to, hold on. Can I say about how we have to freeze it so the aliens can get?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I just want to make sure I could see. Basically, he said it's just like Star Trek, old Star Trek, original. Like, for instance, the scene where an alien will disintegrate, we'll say, or disappear, you know, you have to, you know, keep the camera still, the actor moves out of the way, you shoot, 10 seconds or whatever, and then they can, you know, they disappear, like transporting out. And we just couldn't seem to get it the way we were trying because it was a public park. People were walking, obviously, in the background, they're going to be walking. And I'm like, well, why don't we shoot it this way? And where it was more like the woods or the background. And Joel's like, I don't even know why I didn't think of that. Oh, my gosh. Of course. You know, that's perfect. And then when we were watching it later, as he was editing it in, I said, was that a good idea? And he's like, yeah, that was perfect. That was great. Thank you so much. You know. Just little things like that where you just look at it a different way, or let's shoot it a different angle, or like one time, what do they call it? Crossing the line where maybe an actor's looking to the left, and if you shoot it a certain way, they're looking to the right, you know, it doesn't look right. And I'm just
right.
Like, well, no, you can still put it this way if the character's looking this way. You know, I can think of things like that a little bit more analytically, I guess, where it's like, no, he would be looking this way. It's fine. You can shoot it that way or what have you. So that's where I have a little bit of a knack, I guess, for lack of a better term, to see it like that. But
well,
but yeah,
you do a good – you go ahead, please.
Oh, no, I wasn't going to say anything.
Oh, okay. Well, the sound on Blog Talk Radio isn't the best, and it keeps like jumbling up like it's a bad cell phone connection, and I'm on a cell phone. So, but the next thing I guess we can talk about producing, because I know you do a lot of that. And now me, I know what that entails because I have family in the business, and I even dabbled a little bit myself. But for those who may not know what a producer actually does, I'll let you explain that to people.
A producer has money.
Well, it's a little more than that.
No, it's a bit more than that. But I always, that's my always joke. It's like, well, producer has the money and they make the decisions. A lot of times they have some of the final say in certain things, whether or not you'll go that way. We'll say, for instance, in a movie or not. A lot of it for us, I may be listed as a producer, but it's a, okay, I'm not going to be able to say this word right, correct. Collaborative, is that the right way?
Yeah.
Collaborative effort, does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, I definitely put my two cents in, and sometimes it's a good idea, and sometimes maybe not, as far as everyone else is concerned. so a lot of that is just, you know, with ultimate decisions as far as things that need to be done. And also, I kind of look at it as also making sure that the production gets going and is underway and continues to go. A lot of times, I'm not sure what I might be called, maybe nasty words, but I make sure that Joel, for one, will stay on track. well, you know, because sometimes he gets excited and he does things and he'll want to maybe do a lot more takes than need to be done. And in a small way, it's wasting time. And I know on more than one occasion I've had to say, hey, so-and-so is here. We have this person for 2 hours. You need to wrap this up so that you can get to that, you know, particular actor, or this actor is going to leave in 2 hours. We need to get their scenes, you know, shot and done. And it's actually worked out really well. I know there was one short that he was doing in Dakota where, oh, time was just, oh, really going away so quickly. And at the end of that particular night, basically it was going to be 3 months before everybody could get back together again. And I'm like, you need to get this done now. And I had to step in. I stepped on a couple of toes when I did it, but I said, you need to start working now. You have 3 hours or 2.5 hours or however much long, and you need to get it done. And he got done 5 minutes ahead of schedule. So, hey, you know, whatever works.
Well, that's a sign of a good producer.
Yeah, thank you.
Well,
like wasting people's time. That's my main thing. I've had directors tell someone to be there for a shoot and maybe not use them, or have them sit around for 5 hours, and I think that's ridiculous. Don't waste their time. I mean, I understand that things happen and things can take time, but if you know you're not going to need this particular actor for 3 hours, why make them show up 3 hours ahead of time? That's just ridiculous, in my opinion. You know, I don't like wasting
time. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
So let's see, what else can we talk about? Well, you've acted in a lot of movies, so why don't we start talking about that? If you can think of one, the one you're most proud of, and it doesn't matter for what reason, whether it's because you did it in a shorter amount of time than you needed to, or you were able to get the actors that you wanted for whatever reason, if there is one over another, which one do you think you're most proud of?
Right now I really like The Wine Coop Tales. It's 4 short stories, and then there's a wraparound, and I really like it, and a couple of the shorts I really enjoyed doing. One is Dead End, which was just so much fun to me. Like, you know, like I said, you know, fighting and all that was a lot of fun. And then Diary of Blood I really liked because it was kind of emotional, things like that. There's another movie I've done. I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know if it's, I don't know if I'll like it as much as I think I'm going to like it. it's still in post-production, but it's Inheritance. I really enjoyed working on that movie because I got to play a character that I've never played before. I mean, a lot of times I'm a girlfriend or the wife or the mom, you know, things like this. And I play a character named Aunt Rhonda, and she is nowhere near any of those types of characters. And it was so much fun to play. And I got to be, you know, I had a wig on, I had tons of makeup, so I was all dolled up every time I was in that character, and it was a lot of fun to play. That was for Michael Kenneth Farr, his movie Inheritance, and like I said, it's in post-production. I'm hoping it'll be out next year. I think it was going to try for this year, but unfortunately with all the festivals being canceled and, you know, COVID-19 kind of putting a damper on things, I think it's gotten pushed back a little because he wants to be able to let it get released and appreciated that it should be. So hopefully that one will be good as well. I know I had a lot of fun working on that movie and playing that character, so I'm hoping I'm
well,
going to. I just haven't seen it yet.
Well, it sounds like it'll be interesting, and I've never seen you give a bad performance, so I'm sure that you'll do fine in it.
Oh, thank you very much. It's nice to say. I'm not sure I agree with you. There's three times I've looked at myself and like, oh, God, why did I do that? But, you know.
Well, you know, there are very famous, of course, sometimes just being famous doesn't mean you're a good actor, but I'll say good and famous actors that have actually said the same thing, that they look at their work and think, ugh. But then when other people see it, they're like, wow, that's great. So I
exactly.
think it's a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you're your worst critic, basically.
Well,
you know,
yeah,
I've had. Gonna... Well, I've had people tell me, "Oh, I really like you," and such, and I'm in my head thinking, "Oh my gosh, really? Okay, thanks." But you know, in my mind, it's like, "Oh God, I thought I was terrible in that, or I didn't like the way I did this or that." So, you know. It's nice when people do tell you you did a good job. I've had a couple people recently, they'll be like, oh, you were so good in such and such. And I'm like, please put that on my Facebook. Please let other people know that you like that movie or you like the way I acted in that movie. Because, you know, it's really nice when people tell you that, but it's really, really nice when they put it so other people can see it. So maybe they'll think, oh, what's this movie? Let me check it out, you know, and then they want to, you know, maybe watch it or purchase it because you can pretty much buy all of our movies from Joel, but quite a few are on the Roku device with the Veil TV and GPTV, so you can watch a lot of movies there, too.
Yeah. My last guest, we were talking about the Veil TV and all the different things you can see there. There's even, like, a Vincent Price movie on there he was talking about.
Oh, yeah. Veil really, I mean, you could... If you had the time, you could probably spend months on that channel alone just watching all the different movies they have. They have a lot of shorts. They have a lot of full-length features, a lot of different genres, different, you know, obviously directors and actors. Joel has his own channel on it, which is helpful for me because I'm not in, of course, everything he's done, but I'm in quite a few of the shorts that are on there. So it's nice to know that people can watch the stuff there or, you know, check it out. But, and then, of course, you can always buy them from us. There's more things on the DVD than you just see on a Veil. But
right. Yeah, I've been trying to plug that where I can, the Veil Entertainment, because it is, like, a great thing that's there. So, but getting back to you, though. Now, one thing that I've seen you in that I like you in, yeah, was The Other Side, that TV show. And I've got my own copy. So that shows how much I like it. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, the TV show, The Other Side. That was a lot of fun and a lot of hard work because we had to have a new show every week So really, like every 6 days, we had to have a show ready to go. And a lot of times the shows aired like on Sunday. I think we had to have them in by Saturday. And usually Monday morning, Joel would meet with Anthony, who played Davis, his partner, in the show. And Anthony's like, "Where are we shooting today?" And Joel's like, "Give me 2 seconds." And he'd walk around behind the building or do something. He's like, "Okay, I got 3 shows." And then he'd come back and they'd start filming whatever they were going to do for that particular show for that week. And during that time, I actually had, you know, a regular 9-to-5 type job. So my scenes were done when I would get home in the evening. And I can't remember what particular episode it is, but there's one episode where literally he's just, "Here, say all this." And I'm looking at it, at the script, like, that's a lot of words, and you want me to say it right now? You know, it was very difficult. But we would get through it, and I know there's one where the bloopers, I'm just like, he's yelling at me, and he won't even let me have water, and I'm the actor. Can y'all believe this? And I'm just going off, and it's actually pretty funny. But it was a lot of fun, but it was a lot of hard work. Like I said, doing a show every, you know, like the networks that, you know, on now, they have, you know, 2 weeks to shoot it, and they do it several months in advance. Oh, no. We were like 6 days. It had to be shot, edited, and brought in. And there were many, many nights that we'll just say I learned a lot of curse words because maybe the editing didn't go so well.
Oh.
Yeah, but it got done, and it was a lot of fun. I'm glad that we did do it. I'm glad I had the opportunity to do it, because it was a fun character, and I got to work with a lot of cool people. So it was a lot of fun. I'm glad I had that, at least opportunity to say that, hey, I was in a TV series that was on TV, and I enjoyed it very much.
Your character was Captain Aurora, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Now, if you want to mention some of those people, because you said you got to work with some good people, if you want to mention some of those people.
Well, definitely Anthony Wayne. He played Davis. He is probably one of the more underrated actors in the area. He's very good. He's done a lot of things. He's been in a lot of our movies as well. Like, he's in Dead End. I want to say Psychos Are Us, which is part of the Wine Coop Tales. He's in a few other things, like Nakota and things like that. But he's just a really great guy and actor. He did a scene in The Other Side near the end where it was all improv. And it was just like the speech, and it was just amazing. I mean, everybody, you could hear a pin drop. It was just amazing. And Michael Pelaez, actually, he really surprised us. He's somebody we've known for several years. Met him actually at Busch Gardens doing Hollow Scream, which is a haunted event that we do. And he was interested in acting, and he was, what was his character's name? I'm sorry. He was the guy that always talked to Anthony in the comic book store, and he had the long hair. Bobby Cooper, that's what it was. And he was really only supposed to be like one tiny scene in the first episode. And he ended up being a regular, because him and Anthony going back and forth talking about the superheroes and things like that was just such a good, you know, like comic relief, if you want to call it that. Plus, I was really impressed with Michael's performance, because he was interested in acting, but I hadn't really seen anything that he did, and I thought he was really great in it. The person that owned the comic book store that we worked at, or that we had like our headquarters stationed out of Heroes Haven, Pete Carbonaro, he was actually a very good actor as well. It's not that he planned to do it, but he you know, played his part really, really well. We worked with Ken Anthony, Bob Glazier, Leslie Blevins, or Joel Sierra. Near the end there, we had like James Knowlton and Barbara Wilcox and Mark Troy. Probably just about every local actor in the area came out near the last couple of episodes, and they were just great to be around and work with. But yeah, Mark Troy, I forgot about that. That was the very last episode, episode 10, where he played the bad guy. I can't remember his name. I'm sorry. And he was really, really good because the controller, I forget who said it once, but some director told Joel to go wine coop. And that's gotten to be a term that we tell other actors to go wine coop, and it just means go crazy. So Mark Troy went wine coop for us during the controller, and he did a really, really good job. So that's most of the people for the other side that I really enjoyed working with. Not to let anybody else out, but I just remember everybody. But those are the ones that stand out.
Well, I'm sure that all those people appreciated being mentioned. Hopefully they'll listen and hear their names mentioned. I wanted to ask you about Battle Suit, because some people may not know a lot about it. I mean, I know some things about it, but just to educate people, what's it about?
Well, Battle Suit is basically, it's a short. Joel's character, Ryan Craig, is a police officer. He gets fired and something is delivered to our house. I play his wife. Is delivered to our house maybe by mistake. I mean, it says it's for Ryan Craig, but it's not our address. It's kind of weird. I don't want him to open it. He opens it, and it's this high-tech kind of superhero suit, we'll just say. And he decides to go out and kind of be judge, jury, and executioner with the suit. And it's a short. We did it for something called the Action Film Challenge that's here locally. I'm sure other places have challenges similar to this, but it's like a 30-day challenge where you have to come up with a story, shoot it, edit it, all that within 30 days. And then there's certain things that they want you to incorporate it with, like, you know, a character needs to be called this, you need an umbrella, you need this particular line in it, you know, things like that. And then they show them all, a month or two later at a festival, and you can win, hopefully, awards, which Battle Suit did win 5. The interesting thing about that particular story is there was the director of that, Marcus Kempton, was going to do a completely different story that he had in mind with Joel and other actors, and he was going... I think he was either leaving or, I'm sorry, what?
He left and was coming back.
He left the location that he had for this, and then he had to come back for some reason, and there was a really bad car accident that happened. I mean, Marcus was, you know, in the hospital, and he ended up being in a wheelchair for a short while, and he was hurt pretty badly, and he's just like, oh, I'm just going to have to, you know, drop out of the contest, because what Marcus had wanted to shoot, Marcus was actually going to be in and doing a lot of stunts, and obviously he was in no condition to do any of that. And Joel's like, you know what? I was going to do Battle Suit. I will give you my story. You do Battle Suit. I don't want you to drop out of it. Because Marcus had been in every one of these action film challenges for the last, like, 10 years, however long it had been going on. So Joel gave him Battle Suit, and we actually did at Dead End as the backup story that Joel had in mind. So we had two, you know, stories in there, but I think Battle Suit, I know I won Best Actress, I think it won Best Editing, Best Costumes. Did it win Best Story, I think, too? I think it won Best Story. It won like 5 awards. So it's and it's a really cute little story, you know, a lot of action. what? Joel said he wouldn't call it cute. My bad. It's not cute. It's a sci-fi action thriller. It's not cute. Very sorry. Shame on me for saying so. How
and
dare
some
I?
Of the best, some of the best movies are cute, so there's nothing
there
wrong
go.
With cute.
There you go. See? There you go. See? Even she said so, so there. She goes, the Exorcist is so cute. Okay, maybe not that movie.
You guys are funny. Well, since you're talking with him a little bit, I'm going to put you on the spot just a little bit, not a lot.
Okay.
But your husband, as most people know, is Joel D. Weinkoop, and that's why your name is also Weinkoop. But you were born Mary Catherine Holzebrook, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I thought I had that right.
Yeah, you said it perfect.
So good. So the first movie you were in with him, was that the, what I want to say is when you were with that in that movie with him, I'm flubbing my lines here. When you were in that movie with him the first time, what, in 1999, Dirty Cop, No Donut, or Tales for the Midnight Hour, whichever one came first, was that the first time that you actually had met him, or just the first time you were in a movie with him?
Well, I actually met him the very first time, December of 99, and it was just my best friend, who his name is Walter Maceda, and he's been in quite a few movies as well. He was coming down to visit. Joel was coming over to visit. You know, my best friend was coming from Georgia. Joel was coming from Fort Pierce. And I had previously was supposed to meet Joel in October of that year, but I think there was a hurricane that was supposed to come, ended up not coming, but, you know, everybody's plans got canceled. So this was the follow-up meeting. And he was actually coming over to do, I think he was going to work on a couple of movies that I wasn't in, but he was doing a public access show for Rot. They were showing Rot, and they were doing like an interview prior to that with the cast and crew. So Joel was coming for that. That's when I first met him. Then the next year of 2000 is when I met him again, and that's when we started Fall of an Actor. Now, Fall of an Actor doesn't actually come out until about 4 years later, but we started shooting it way back then. And the very first scene that I ever shot was, they just said, oh, well, why doesn't Kathy just play your girlfriend? And you guys walk up to the, you know, because he's supposed to meet his agent at this meeting. He's like, why don't you just come up and she can, like, walk you to the door, and if you want, you guys can kiss. And Joel's like, yeah, I'm okay with that. Are you okay with that? I was like, sure, no problem. And so our first kiss is actually a screen kiss, and it's in Fall of an Actor. So not too many people can say that. So it's kind of cool.
Well, I asked him when he was on the show, so I have to ask you as well. When you had that first kiss, even though it was on screen, doesn't matter, because a lot of actors, when they kiss somebody on screen, they realize, hey, I really like this person. Did you have that feeling with Joel that, wow, I really am liking this kiss?
I did. I played it cool, but yes, I did, very much so.
You know,
there are little butterflies there, you know.
Yeah, the way you guys are together, I kind of thought that would be the answer, because you guys are just so cute together. Make the perfect couple. We talked about Joel enough. He had his own show. So let's.
Yeah, that's him.
So we'll go on to something else. And hopefully the over the air can't hear my stomach growling.
You're good.
Since you had mentioned Tim Ritter's Hess earlier, why don't you talk about that for a little bit, like the part you played, how difficult it was to get it together, or whatever, and then we'll go on from that to something else, and then we'll get on to the more recent things that you're still doing, because we want to get to Craig Lott.
Okay. Well, definitely, Tim Ritter's Hess was kind of exciting for a couple of different reasons. I mean, one, I did get to be in Truth or Dare Part 5, which is kind of classic Ritter Weinkoop type of movies. And I was actually really excited to be in a Tim Ritter movie, you know, to say it like that, for lack of a better term. So I was really excited about that. And to me, Hess is like, we kind of lovingly call it Truth or Dare 5.5, because it happens right after Truth or Dare 5, and Joel's playing Dan Hess again, which is, you know, iconic character for the Truth or Dare movies if you're a fan of them. And he had asked him if he could write, you know, a short. And, well, actually, Tim wrote a really cool short, but it was a little bit more labor-intensive, and we're thinking that would be much better to do as a full feature. So then he's like, okay, do something a little bit, you know, not as intensive. So then we got to Hess. And I play Juliet, who... how can I say it without giving anything away? We'll just say she works in a doctor's office, and she really, really, really likes Dan Hess. She probably would like a lot of men. We'll say that. Juliet has issues. But anyway, it was a lot of fun to do. I had very minor stunts in that, not too many. But we shot that in literally 2 days. So that was actually pretty exciting to do. Another one of the ones where we have to keep on track. We did most of the shooting, especially my scenes, on the Saturday, because believe it or not, the Sunday was Father's Day, and I said, I have to take my dad out to eat. I'm sorry, I can't shoot. you guys are on your own that day. So we did a lot on Saturday. Yeah, we did a lot on Saturday, and I had to do the rest on Sunday. We were able to use an actual doctor's office. One of the characters, what was his name? I can't remember. There's a doctor at the end of the movie. It's terrible. I cannot remember his name. But he was played by Werner Jacques, I think his name. Jacques, I think I'm saying his name right. It's a German name. I'm probably butchering it, and I apologize, Werner. But he plays one of the doctors at the end, and it's actually his practice that we were at. So very grateful to him for letting us use that location, because it had everything that we needed, you know, as far as several different rooms. Even got to use one of those, I can't remember the name of anything, those machines that start your heart, you know, like clear. I can't remember what it's called. And it's funny, we did a gag and it ended up being on Gotham like a week later. So they stole it from us. I know they did. Clearly, you know, Gotham couldn't come up with their own gag. They had to use ours. I totally understand. It's fine. But, but anyway, it was a lot of fun. If you're a fan of any of the Truth or Dare movies, you would really like Hess, because we put a lot of Easter eggs in that short for the fans. I mean, it's almost like a love letter to the fans, some of the things that we put in there. Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's like I said, it's a good short on its own. If you've never seen Truth or Dare, you would still enjoy it. But if you're a fan of Truth or Dare, you would love it, because, you know, Dan Hess is in it, and a lot of things are mentioned of past movies. So you get like little in jokes in there. So it was a lot of fun. Plus, I was excited to work on another Tim Ritter project. So it was fun for me.
Yeah, Tim Ritter is good. I know. I've seen a lot of his stuff as well. This movie that you've got. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I agree. I've talked to him on the phone, but I've never actually met him. So it was kind of exciting to get to work on something that he wrote or, you know, had a hand in. So I was excited about that.
Well, good. I'm glad you got to do something that you really wanted to do and you were excited about. That's always good. Not just, do I have to do this?
Right.
I'm not saying you've ever done that. I'm just, I'm just making conversations. But moving on, if you were done, that is. I like the name of this movie, which is why I'm bringing it up. Ouija Mummy.
Ouija Mummy, yes.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Ouija Mummy is actually Dustin Hubbard and Seb Godin. They both collaborated on this movie. I think Seb wrote it. Dustin produced it. And we shot in Sarasota, I want to believe. That movie is a lot of fun. Seb is a big fan of, like, monster-type movies. He did, like, Animator as well. And he actually has Jekyll versus Hyde, I think it's called, coming out. So he's a big fan of, like, monster-type movies like that. So Ouija Mummy is very exciting. I was very happy to be asked to play a part. And that I played, I want to say it's, I know my character is Cassandra, I think her last name, I don't know, maybe she doesn't have a last name, but it's in the beginning of the movie. I kind of, I don't explain the movie, but I kind of explain an artifact that's in the movie that's pretty important. And then I have my own little scenes there that are kind of interesting. So that was fun. Joel's in it. He plays a character called Karate Irving. Brianna Wyman plays the mummy. I can't remember her character's name offhand. I apologize for that. But she's amazing in that. Kai Hornick's in it. Charlotte Darkest-Moore. There's quite a few people in it that they're just really kind of new and up and coming in the indie scene, but they're really, really talented people. And it's a really good movie. I want to say it comes out September through Wild Eye this year. So that should be coming out to DVD very, very soon. So pretty excited about that.
Yeah, well, I like the title, and I also like the way that you were talking about it. So that's one that I'm sure I'll be watching.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing. I've seen it. I saw it at Tampa Bay Screams, I want to say, last year. But I'm excited to see it on DVD as well. So.
Good.
Oh, and Joel won Best Actor at Tampa Bay Screams for Ouija Mummy as well.
Aw. Well, you know, whenever you guys win those awards, they're very well deserved. Because,
thank you.
yeah, a lot of times when you don't get the awards, because no, I don't follow it. Who can do that?
Right.
But I follow a lot of stuff, and I notice whether they win or whether they don't. And a lot of times I look at that and think, how could they not win? So
right.
I just thought you would like to know that I've seen a few of those when you didn't get the award that I thought you deserved it.
Oh, well, thank you. That's nice to know. And that's why I like when someone tells me that they, you know, maybe liked a character I did or they liked a movie I did, because, you know, I can get an award from somebody that maybe saw that movie, this movie, you know, maybe, you know, it could be a vote, it could be this, but to hear someone that actually watched the movie, enjoyed the movie, and then told me that they liked what I did in it, that's more, means more to me than, you know, sometimes an award from someone who doesn't know me or doesn't really care. You know, it's just, I just like it to, I like to know I'm entertaining someone and they enjoyed something that I worked on. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, I understand that's, completely.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not going to turn down an Oscar. Don't get me wrong. I'm not stupid, but, but at this level, I know that's not quite going to happen. So I'll take compliments.
Well, the thing about the Oscars, and no offense to anybody that's ever won one, of course not, but sometimes those Oscars are just awarded to whoever sent the better gift box to the judges.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of that type of stuff that goes on. That doesn't surprise me at all, but I wouldn't turn it down. I'm just saying, you know. Yeah.
And it's not just because,
right.
And it's not just because I look at these things and think, I don't know why that ever got an award. Although I think that a lot of times when I watch these movies, why did they get an award for that? Because
exactly.
I know that's just my, I know it's just my opinion, just like it's their opinion. But the thing that really irritates me is that a lot of times I watch those and I know that they didn't really watch the thing. Because you can tell by the way that different people talk about it, that they fast forwarded through it or whatever. And I hate that.
Yeah.
But moving on back to you, moving back to you, because I want to make sure we get to the Craiglon incident, but we'll go over one more, which is because I know that I think that it's been completed, even though you've been working on it for a while, is One by One. Are you still working on that, or is it completed?
No, that's done. It's been out, I think, for quite a while, actually. That was done by Kelly Helen Thompson. I am sorry I butchered your name. It's not a hard name. It just got tongue-tied. As far as I know, she wrote that, and she definitely directed it. She is the lead in it. I am the second lead, which she actually made me feel really good about that when we were talking about it. She says, well, I need a really strong actress to play the second lead. She plays my sister, and I couldn't think of anyone but you. You're the best, you know, and I'm, oh, wow, thanks, Kelly. You know, that made me feel good. But that movie is, it's been done for a while. It is on DVD. It's available on DVD. That has like Ashley Lynn Caputo, of course, myself, another actress named Abby I, Kelly, Bob Glazier, Shelby McIntyre, who plays my husband. That movie was actually very, very fun to work on. Again, I think I was able to do all of my scenes in like a day, which is always fun when you see a movie that you've worked on. You might be throughout the whole movie, but if you only had to work one day, you're like, wow, that's awesome. You know, a lot of costume changes, but it's awesome. But yeah, Kelly's really efficient with making movies. I will say that. She gets them done very quickly. She doesn't do a lot of takes, but the takes are good. Do you know what I mean? It's like we only have to maybe redo it if someone flubs the lines.
Right.
She's really, really efficient. Yeah, and does a good job. I think she even edits them. She wears a lot of hats on those as well. I think, is One by One Up on a Veil? I think it might be.
Yeah, she's got her own.
Because Kelly has her own little section on Avail as well. So One by One is actually on that. You know, I think she has like 5 movies on there that she's done. So, yeah, it's kind of like a, it's more of a like a drama, like a family drama kind of murder mystery movie. Trying to figure out who did it throughout the whole movie type thing. So it's a little bit different than just straight horror, but yeah, it's a good movie.
Oh, good. I'll probably be checking that one out as well. Now to the biggie that I wanted to make sure, because there's only like 7 minutes left, but I figured, well, that's enough time, I think, to talk about the Craiglon incident. Now this was brought about because of the COVID. So I'll just let you go ahead and talk about it. Name all the people you want to name. You got about 6 minutes and 40 seconds.
Okay. Well, the Craiglon incident was and is still being shot during COVID-19. Using all precautions, where hardly anyone is in the same scene together unless they live with each other. A few times that we had to shoot someone, we shot from like 20 feet away. In fact, Bob Glazier scenes we shot 20 feet away. We're still shooting it. It started off very silly. So silly to the point where I was shooting some scenes for Joel and I said, you know, I don't think I want to be in this movie. It's just too crazy. And then it got better. And then I thought, well, I really want to be in this movie now. So as of right now, I've played 3 parts. I believe I will end up playing 5 total. We did a short for a Roger Corman COVID-19 film festival that starts out the movie. So I have that character. I think I'm going to end up playing 2 different reporters. I play a character named Emma Crusher and I believe a still unnamed character. I don't want to give too much away, but it has turned into quite the movie. It's going to be very, very cool. We have Phil Hartman doing, I think he may be wrapped, but he's done a lot of his scenes out up in New York for us. We have Sean C. Phillips, who still has a few scenes to do out in California. Of course, I'm in it. Joel's in it. We got Les McDowell, who did a very cool scene for us and helped us out with a location in Parrish, Florida. It's a Wild West town. Bob Glazier is in it. Joel Sierra is in it. Terry Hopkins, Ian Stevens, Crystal Pixie Adams, Kate Bennett, Eric Danger D, Pete Tirzin. Oh, I know I'm missing people. Who am I forgetting? There's so many. Oh, John R.F. Humphreys, Anthony Wayne. Oh, my gosh. There, so many people have helped out with this movie. They've wanted, they're like, oh, I want to do a scene. I want to do a scene. They're like, yeah, great. Will DeVoki, I think that's how you say his name. He's in it. I apologize to anyone who I've forgotten. Oh, Walter Maceda, he's in it. I think Johan Tetrault is going to be doing something for us. I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody, but it's an amazing cast. I mean, it's almost everybody in the indie community. So if you like any of those actors, you're going to enjoy this movie. And it's just really, it's really cool how we've been shooting it. I've done a lot of camera work on this, more camera work than I've ever wanted to do in my life, on this movie. Oh my gosh. Yeah. but you know, it's like I said, when you were saying about wearing many different hats, that's all part of it. You know, I would say that if we had most of these people all together doing it, I'd probably be wearing a lot more hats in that, but so far the only person I have to crack the whip on is just Joel on his scene, so it's not too bad. but yeah, it's definitely an undertaking. I think it's going to be a very, very cool movie. Like I said, at first I was like, this is silly, I don't want anything to do with this, it's all you, and then it got really cool. I thought, I want to be in this movie, it's so good. So I had to eat my words on that, but yes, I am thankfully going to be in this movie. So I'm excited to see the end result, because I've seen a lot of the footage, obviously, and it's just, it's really cool. I mean, he'll say, come look at this. And I'm like, man, you cut that together really good. That's awesome. You know, and I don't think too many people would, without knowing, would realize how it's been shot. You know, scenes that are done in New York and done in Tampa, but it looks like they're in the same room. It's really amazing. So it's pretty awesome.
And we've only got like 2 minutes, but it's like an alien movie, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. Aliens, spaceship, laser guns, transporting devices, all that cool stuff. Lots of special effects, which we've had Jason Fink, Jason McCrory, Creations to Go Studios, all helping us out with that. So it's going to be a pretty cool movie. I mean, like I said, I'm anxious to see the final production. Hopefully, I think it'll get done this year. I think it'll be out this year. Hopefully by the, you know, before the end of the year. So I'm excited to see it. And hopefully everybody else will be too, because it's got a lot, it's got a very impressive cast. Still together? I don't know, maybe I talk too much. I think I'm still connected. Okay, I can't hear you, so I don't know if we're still connected. I'm going to just babble for a minute or two, but thank you for having me on your show. I appreciate it. You had a lot of great questions. I enjoyed talking with you. I guess that's it.